The Bible said, David said, let us go. I was glad when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord. It's the house of light. It's the house of strength. It's the house of truth, the pillar of truth, the fountain of joy. And so as we come into your presence this morning, Lord, going into your word, we ask for fresh mercy and unction upon my heart and upon my lips. So Lord, as I speak your word, I will do so with purity, with clarity, with comfort, Lord, and love, with the power of the Holy Spirit, so that your word will go forth and do an internal, eternal work in all of our hearts, including my own, making our wills more submitted to your will, our minds further illuminated with revelation knowledge from the Holy Spirit, and our emotions further controlled by the power of the fruit of the Spirit, in the name of Jesus. As the word goes forth under the covering of our fathers, let yokes be broken, let blind eyes be open, let heavy burdens be undone. Lord, let the oppressed go free, so that, Lord, in your presence, Lord, upon this Mount Zion, there will be deliverance and, Lord, holiness, so that your people can lay hold upon that which you have ordained, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father, because as we pray, I ask for mercy. Help me to redeem the time, to be concise and precise, saying only those things that you would have me say, so that as the scribe instructed unto the kingdom, you will bring forth fresh things, Lord God, and as we build, Lord, as echoes on the things that we have been taught, to the praise of your glory, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want to welcome you to church this morning. Amen. It's great to be in the house of God. And it's a great privilege for me once again to be able to share the word of God with you. And I thank God for the privilege that we have. He has given us to have beautiful and wonderful parents such as Pastor and Mommy. Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, Mommy. It's a great honor, great privilege to bring rest to our parents. Amen. And I know that because God desires for them to have rest, He's going to help us today. Amen. Amen. And also, I know that it is God's desire, you are His beloved people, that you be fed. So God is coming to feed us. All of us, including me, are going to be fed today. Amen. So we're in God's presence. Hallelujah. And there is fullness of light and strength. So we'll go straight into the Word. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And we're in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. And today we're looking at the last four verses of 2 Thessalonians. And then that will be the end of the book. Hallelujah. Okay, we're trusting God to help us to do that. But before we do that, we want to quickly look at what we spoke about the last time. We were in verses 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 10 to 14. And in our last lesson, we saw by the help of the Holy Spirit that God... Verse 10, God detests disorderliness. Disorderliness is a lifestyle, is a habitual lifestyle that disregards both the instructions and the example of Christ. And that example is shown to us through the spiritual fathers that God has given unto us. The Bible says, follow me as I follow Christ. So we copy what we see. And when we habitually, don't refuse to copy, what we see, refuse to obey what we hear, we begin to walk disorderly. And it's important to mention that there's a lot of disorderliness in the Church of Jesus Christ as a whole. But God's come to clean it up. But there's a lot of disorderliness. And some of it is because many pastors pervert the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We saw that last time. Let's look at it again. Galatians chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. Galatians 1, 7 and 8. But even in Thessalonian church, they had good teaching. They had sound doctrine. Yet there were some that are disorderly. Okay? But when the doctrine itself is not pure, like we'll see, verse 7, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Okay, next verse. But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. So what are we saying? We are saying that A perverted gospel will breed disorderly saints. You know, it will breed disorderly saints. And this perversion is there because of personal gain. So that gospel brings about very little growth in the body of Christ. You know, and like I said, God is changing it. And that's why we're talking about this today. So God is bringing forth now Christians that will grow. The Bible says God is glorified when we bring forth much fruit. John 15 verse 8. The Bible also tells us in Ephesians 4:15 that we should grow up into Christ in all things. Not in some things. In all things. Okay, so it's that growth is key. God doesn't want babies. No, He wants, we start as babies, we grow to little children, we become young men and women, and then we become spiritual adults and spiritual fathers, okay? That's the will of God for us. So it is the consistent teaching of God's undiluted word that brings forth steady and consistent growth. It's important to mention. Look at Acts 20, 32. We'll be seeing a lot of this today. Let's look at it. Acts chapter 20, verse 32. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And now, let's read together. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up. See, that's the word. The word builds you up. And then to give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. So if the word does not build you up, you will not be mature enough to get your inheritance. Just look at it naturally. If a child is not mature, a parent is not going to give them landed property and stocks and shares. He's not going to do that. He's going to wait until they're mature. Now, that's the will of God. So the same thing spiritually. That's the will of God. So it's important to bring forth fruit. That's what we're saying. You know, and when we have no fruit or withered fruit, that means we had fruit, but we allowed the fruit to wither because we stopped obeying the instructions, we stopped copying the example, then we stand the risk of judgment. That's not our portion in Jesus' name. Amen. But it's important to mention it, that we must keep moving forward, because coming back is not an option. It's not our option in Jesus' name. Look at John the Baptist as an example. Mark chapter 6, verse 20. Just very quickly, Mark 6, 20. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and unholy, and observed him. And when he heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly. When John had fruit, his life was a challenge to Herod. And Herod heard every word he said. Herod took it and obeyed. But alas, in verse 26, when John the Baptist backslid and did not follow on to know, see what happened. The same Herod, the king, was exceeding sorry. Yet for his own sake and for their sakes which sat with him, he would not reject her. So he sent the executioner and they took off John the Baptist's head. That will not be our portion in Jesus' name. But what it means is this. And this is important to mention, is that the fruits of the Spirit are spiritual forces. They go out. They are spiritual forces that are released. They come from our born-again human spirit, you know, by the power of the Holy Spirit. And they come out to affect the soul, affect the body, and affect the people around us and the atmosphere around us. So when people are around you, there's a way they behave because of what is coming out of our spirits. Amen. But when that force is not there, then there is no restraint. There is no restraint on the sin nature in those people. And that makes us more, that's what happened to John the Baptist. That will not be our portion. So disorderliness manifests in self-indulgence because the flesh is not controlled. Pride, indiscipline, laziness, immorality. We see an example in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 where a man was sleeping with his father's wife. Not his mom, his father's wife. You know, and the apostle said, this thing should not be named among you. Apostle Paul was correcting them. You know, that's disorderly. I said, withdraw. That's what we should do for people that are disorderly. We should withdraw from them. And the essence of the withdrawal is to make them ashamed so that they can repent. That's the will of God. So that they can repent, you know. And when they repent, then they can now come back into doing what they're supposed to do. What are they supposed to do? What are all of us supposed to do? We are supposed to tithe our time. And that means that we give 2.4 hours to God every day. You know, now that's a goal that we must attain. We may not start there, definitely don't start there, but that's something we work towards. So the very early hours of the day, you know, you spend time fellowshipping with God in the Word and in prayer, deep prayer, concentrated prayer. And it is that time that we spend with God in the place of prayer and in the Word that generates the spiritual power and enables us to bring forth fruit. That's why he says in verse 13, where he says that, no, I command them to be quiet. You know, why are they quiet? That word quiet there, you know, he's not talking about keeping quiet and not talking. You know, he's talking about when the soul is submitted, the will is submitted. There are no agitations in the mind. There's no rebellion in the mind. The emotions are subdued. That's why it says verse 12, thank you. He says that we command them that they should, with quietness, they work. Quietness is a state of heart. So when the heart is subdued and under the influence of the power and the wisdom of God, then you are quiet. You know, and in that state, then you can hear what God is saying, obey instruction by working, and then you can eat your own bread. That's the will of God for us, okay? So, and we saw that being busybodies is not something that edifies the body. Our focus should be on edifying the body. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 22. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 22. We edify one another. To the weak, became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. So the emphasis is not on me, it's on others, to be a blessing to others. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31 to 33. 10, 31 to 33. Thank you. Wherefore, whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. It doesn't bring God glory to talk about people behind their back. So that means that's out of it. Giving none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Next verse. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. Save them means born again. It also means that they may become more and more and more like Jesus. All right, so that's what we're saying. All right, so we also saw in our last lesson that we should not be weary in well doing. You know, and it's very easy to be weary in well doing. You know, looking around, you know, do things, see what people do, see what people say. You know, there's a way, if you look at people, you will not make it. You know, they're going to derail you. You know, because they're going to discourage you from doing what the Bible says to do. Because it looks as if you're opening yourself up to people that are going to stab you in the back. That's what it looks like. But brethren, we are not supposed to be looking at people. We must fix our gaze on the example of our Lord Jesus Christ when he was on earth. And the invisible realities that are in God's word. God is bigger than people. You know, and God has your back. It's important to say that because, you know, many times, you know, as Christians, because we're growing, sometimes we do things that hurt others very deeply. You know, if you are hurt, God is going to heal you. Amen. There's the balm in Gilead. You know, there's the flowing stream that brings healing and life. We were talking about that on Wednesday. A river of life flowing with grace and mercy. You know, touching our souls and healing us of hurts. Sometimes even hurts we don't even know were there. You know, and God makes you whole. So we come out of it wholesome. We come out stronger. It's not to protect yourself so that nothing bad will happen to you. It's that the God who is with you is more than enough to help you overcome anything that comes our way. That is the will of God. That's the mindset that God wants us to have. So we focus on the Lord Jesus. The Bible says, you know, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. We look unto him. And then we also keep our eyes on the invisible realities. You know, things unseen. God the Father. The pastor shared that with us. You know, seven of them. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, the blood of Jesus, the life of God, and the angels of God. Seven. You keep your eyes on those realities. And it's those realities that you will come out of anything and everything. Because anything we need is in those seven. Seven's got them up for complete, for completion. So it's complete to the glory of God. All right? So, and also remember that we will be abundantly rewarded by the Lord. Anything you do to brethren, you know, the Bible says, if you have done to the least of my brethren, you have done it unto me. So you're not doing it for brethren. We serve brethren, but we're not, we are God's servant, but we are serving brethren. You know, so look at the 1 Corinthians 15:58. 15:58. Thank you, Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Well, it says, beloved, if I remember, you know, it says, be ye steadfast, unmovable. Okay, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Amen. Our labor of love, our labor of prayer, the labor in prayer, our labor in the life of God, our labor in the word, it's not in vain in the Lord. Amen. It's important to remember that. Okay. So we change our focus from circumstances to God, you know, and we obtain mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. And we saw examples last week. David at Ziklag. It looked like a terrible situation, but God turned it around. He turned it absolutely 100% around. Amen. And the Bible says they pursued, they overtook, and they recovered all. Amen. So this is just the way to do it, is walking in love, bringing forth fruit. These are the same thing, really, what we're talking about today. It's the same thing God is talking about. The Lord Jesus Christ as well. Look at Matthew chapter 14. Just look at this. So many people, Paul, God turned it around when he was in the storm. Paul and Silas, when they were beaten, God turned it around. In your situation, God will turn it around. It's just the same method. Just need to do what we were doing, or what Jesus did, what Paul did. Same thing we need to do. All right, let's look at it. Matthew 14, verse 12 to 14. And his disciples came and took up the body, as the body of John the Baptist, and buried it, and went and told Jesus. His cousin had just been murdered. His head was cut off. And even though, you know, I mean, he understood it was a lot due to what John did. But there's that personal, emotional side to everything. John, we grew up together. You know, cousins, first cousins. I'm not first cousin, but at least they were cousins, you know. And then they grew up together. There was a relationship between them. You can imagine how we felt. Next verse. And when Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship to a desert place apart. What did he go to do? He went to pray. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. Next verse. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion towards them, and he healed their sick. The focus was not on himself and how he was feeling. He had prayed, and that focus had been changed. But then we need to change our focus. Our focus is to walk in love, is to walk in love, focus on God, focus on others. Of course, you are important. As you are focusing on God, God is focusing on you. Amen. Amen. So God has our back. But that's what and the Bible says that he healed the sick. Look at verse 21. Verse 21. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men beside women and children. Now, I didn't know this. It was that time that the multitude came that he fed the 5,000. Imagine if he allowed emotions to get in the way. That's why it's important to walk with the Holy Spirit and pray. Because when he did that, he turned the table around. This is what you call, you know, responding in the Spirit. So for all that happened to John the Baptist, you know, on that same day that happened to John the Baptist, God marked that same day with a miracle, an outstanding miracle that drowned out everything that Herod did. Amen. Hallelujah. And give God a clap. And you know, that day ended on a high note. Brethren, your day can end on a high note. You know, every circumstance can turn around. We saw it. Peace is a flowing stream. It's flowing all the time. You can drink from it. And as you drink from it, you get stronger and stronger and stronger. And you turn everything around. And turn the tables on the devil. It may not be changing now, but don't give up. It's going to change. Amen. The Bible says the end of that man is peace. Hallelujah. That's the end. And that's the end that we must accept. Amen. All right. So there's nothing God can turn around. So let's move to verse 15, what we have today. Thank you, Holy Spirit. 2 Thessalonians 3:15. Brethren, you are a bit... let's read together. Okay. Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother or a sister. Because sisters too can walk disorderly, okay? Next verse. And now the Lord of peace himself give you peace, by all means. The Lord be with you all. Hallelujah. Next verse. This salutation of Paul with my own hand, which is a token in every epistle, so I write. And the last, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. All right. So thank you, Holy Spirit, for helping us. Verse 15. All right. So let's go back to 15. And we see that when brethren repent from disorderliness, we then admonish them in love. And I've seen that in this church, where people have been popped over the years, not recent anymore, because it's been at least 10, 15 years is the last time that anybody has been brought out on the pulpit here to be disciplined publicly for disorderliness. We do this in this church by the grace of God, under the covenant of our fathers. We do what God says we should do. And people are in love. As you will see, is in love because want to save their soul from hell. You know, so is in love and they're disciplined, you know, and they repent, you know, and as they repent, everybody, you know, goes back again. But for that period of time, that person is set apart and they repent. And Bible says, by the sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. So they are more submitted to doing the correct thing, because that's how they got there, like we said in the first place. Okay, so we admonish them. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 9. So the brother in this is the story of the brother, 2 Corinthians 7, 9, the brother in Corinth. Now I rejoice, not that you are made sorry, but that you sorrow to what? Repentance. Not just feeling sorry or feeling bad because you are caught, but it results in a change of will, a determination that I am not going to be here again. This is the last time I'm going to be in this environment. I'm moving up. That's what it means. But that you are made sorry after a godly manner, that you might receive damage by us in nothing. So the essence of discipline is not to destroy. It is to prune. It is to change so that we can apply our hearts to instruction and start bearing fruit. Amen. Look at Proverbs 23:10-12. We should not walk in the field of the fatherless. You know, well, we have spiritual fathers. We should not behave as if we don't have fathers and be going in the field of the fatherless. But because you do so, your Redeemer is mighty, But the Bible said, remove not the old landmark. You know, don't walk in the field of fatherless, for their Redeemer is mighty. He shall plead their cause. That's why this happened. That's why the correction is there. Your Redeemer is mighty. He paid a great price. His very blood redeemed you and I from death and destruction. And so he's not going to watch us just stray away. He's going to do whatever he does as a responsible parent to make sure that we're back on the path of righteousness. Okay? All right. So, verse 12. Yes. It says, apply thine heart unto instruction and thine ears to the words of knowledge. Apply. Apply means that it's something that, you know, two surfaces come together. When you apply something, so you apply the word of God on your heart, you know, your ears to the words of knowledge, meaning you receive the word, and then our hearts to the instruction that we have been given. Amen. That's what God is saying. Verse 14. Right. Thou shalt beat him with the rod, and thou shalt deliver his soul from hell. It's important that we don't allow emotions to becloud our judgment. Because when they say withdraw, they don't. I mean, sometimes they come and say this person is under discipline, but sometimes you see people walking disorderly, and it's your own decision. Of course, the first thing is to correct them. Really, that's the first thing to do. The Bible says, "See your brother sin is not to death. Ask life for him, and then of course you go to him, your brother, and say, you are not supposed to be doing this. That's the correct thing." You know, but if the person persists, that's what we call disorderliness. If the person persists, that they do it, it's like a systematic thing that they're doing. You know, then you need to withdraw. You know, and don't be emotional about it. It's very, because you know, what you do or what I do or don't do, what you do or don't do can make all the difference in that brother's life. So in this season of the harvest, God does not want sons that bring shame. He wants sons, responsible sons. So we must not let emotions get in the way. We must do what we need to do in order for us to be able to save our brethren and extricate them from the snare of the devil's grip. You know, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 6 to 9. Please give that to me in the NIV. 2 Corinthians 2, 6 to 9. The punishment inflicted on him by the majority is sufficient for him. Next verse. Now, instead, you ought to forgive and comfort him so he will not be overwhelmed by excessive sorrow. Next verse. I urge you, therefore, to reaffirm your love for him. Last verse. The reason I wrote to you was to see if you would stand the test and be obedient in what? Everything. So it was a test. It's a test for you. God wants to see what you will do when you see people that are doing the wrong thing consistently. Whether you will keep quiet and mind your own business, or whether you will talk to them as true brethren to correct them. You owe that to them. Owe no man except to love him. You need to love them by telling them the truth. Now, when you tell them the truth, now you've done your bit. Bible says, after the first and second admonition, then you've done your bit. You know, but you cannot walk away. I cannot walk away. So it's not you either to walk away or to say, I cannot leave him alone. Let me be his friends. That's why sometimes some of us, we are unequally yoked. We are unequally yoked. We are walking, light is walking with darkness. Think about it. How can it be possible? It's because we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing. We are shutting our eye to the darkness because of emotions. Affinity. The same affinity that Jehoshaphat had that destroyed him with Ahab. Almost killed him. And affected his children. Affinity. Not all Israel is Israel. Not all brethren are brethren. In respect of the relationship that you have with them, you must look at things through God's prism. Look at it through God's eyes. And that thing that Jehoshaphat did, it affected his children. as I am married from the house of Omri. House of Omri. And the same affinity, you know, two generations down the line. Both and Joram, who came after the two of them, that thing killed them. One of them was in the wrong place at the wrong time. He went to go and greet. Ahaziah went to go and greet somebody whom God was dealing with. Eh? Somebody's kneeling down. You go and rubbing them on the head. Sorry, if I catch you, your punishment will be more than that person, because you are hindering the person repenting. The same thing we must not do, brethren. We must make sure that we stay on God's side. Yeah, I mean, you love them. All this, you must love them. And if you're doing this secret love, it will be easy for you to do. Forgive their sins. Ask life for them. Pray for them in tongues. You're already loving them. God knows you are loving them. So the withdrawal part is easy to do because it's part of the obedience. And then when you see the response, then because you have been praying, so the key is that we must be praying. If you see your brother sin is not dead, you do what? Ask life for him. When we do that, then we can follow on and do so. We will not refuse to withdraw, and at the same time, we will not withdraw and then refuse to forgive when they have repented. You know, we don't know. So God, we need to get the balance, you know, so that we can stay right there and save our brethren from the clutches of sin and Satan. Amen. All right, that's the will of God for us. All right, so don't be too close to people above the Word of God. The Word of God is supreme. Jesus told his father, he told his mother and his brethren. He said, you know, my mother and my brethren are they that hear the Word of God and do it. That's the person we are following. God will help us to follow properly in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, verse 16. As we begin to round up. Verse 16, 2 Thessalonians 3:16. You need to be really quick. Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. He's the Lord of peace. So peace is something that the Lord Jesus has. It says, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives peace. Give it to me. John 14:27. Give it to me in the Message Bible. He is the Lord of peace. Peace is of God. It's from him. Says, I'm leaving you well and whole. That's my parting gift to you. What's that? Peace. Say it again. Peace. I don't leave you the way you are used to being left. Feeling abandoned. Bereft. So don't be upset. Don't be distraught. Hallelujah. He left us a comforter. A spirit of peace. He left his peace with us. Amen. He's given us already. And we saw that on Wednesday, that God has come to encourage us to drink of the river of peace that is flowing out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. Look at Revelation chapter 22, verses 1 to 3. King James. And he showed me a pure river of the water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. Next verse. And in the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded our fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. So you can see that from the river of life, there's a tree of life. And that tree of life is bringing forth fruit. So you need life to get fruit. And that same life is bringing healing to the nations. So you can see that it's that river is flowing, you know, to bring healing and wholesomeness. Next verse. Verse 3. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. Alright? So we see that. And look at Isaiah 66 verse 12. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river. Hallelujah. And the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. Then shall you suck, you shall be borne upon her sides and be dandied upon her knees. Okay? We saw that. So when there is at all times, really, brethren, because our peace that God gave us is a spiritual force. It's a force that we generate. Is that you generate it from within, from your spirit, and you generate it into your circumstances. You generate it into your soul. You generate it. So it's something that we draw life from, that river of life, and we manufacture peace. Bible says the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. So peace can be made. You can make peace. You can make joy. I know it means to go and meet people and apologize and keep the peace. Yes. But it also means that you can manufacture those things, because they are forces that come from the spirit. You can generate it. You know, so it doesn't matter what situation that we are in, by spiritual warfare. The Bible says the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. We can enforce peace in our situation. There may not be peace at the beginning, but certainly, brethren, there will be peace at the end. That force of peace will flow out continually until it quenches the storm, and then you say, peace be still, and it comes to pass. Very important. No, so it's important that we know that the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. And that kingdom endures violent assault. So you can't take it. No, that's why Jesus, when he heard that John Baptist had been beheaded, he went to pray to take back his peace, to take back his joy, in spite of the circumstances. So it doesn't mean the circumstances change. Your initial prayer is not that your circumstances change. It is the fact that the kingdom of God remain established in you. And then from you, it flows out. And then you begin now to release peace. Like Jesus said, peace be still. Where did the peace come from? From inside him. And he was sleeping. It came from inside him. It was already there. The same way, brethren. I don't know what you're going through, but brethren, you can generate the peace. The peace is first inside. So you calm every storm, and you can hear what God is saying. You can follow how God is leading. And then you now, as you generate it, we can release more peace, and you now affect the air, affect the nation. Peace is going to flow. It's flowing into our nation. It's a work in progress. By the time we are done, there will be no complaint in our streets. That's the will of God. Okay? So it's important to understand. We have peace. The world gives peace by just giving you circumstances on the outside. That's why the Bible says peace. They say peace and safety. Then sudden destruction comes upon them. That's not our portion. Our own is an internal peace. If something is wrong internally, it's a pointer that you should get, look inward and correct it. Don't wait for the external sign. As the Apostle Paul perceived that the journey was with much danger. Once there is no peace on the inside, it means that you should go back to God and say, God, what's going on? Let God pray so that God can show you what's going on, so that you can correct what's going on. So that before it manifests, you can abort it in the spirit realm. That's the will of God. That's the will of God. So we don't move by what we see. We move by faith. And in this regard, God gave me a word for Nigeria. Look at Psalm 37 from verse 35. Just to encourage us. I have seen the wicked. I don't know whether you have seen the wicked. Let's read together. I have seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a green bay tree. That one is clear. He's changing people from positions. He's spreading himself. You understand that. Next verse. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. Next verse. Amen. All those strange children. That's all. Wherever they are. Mark the perfect man. Behold the upright. For the end of that man is peace. Amen. Next verse. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together, and the end of the wicked shall be cut off. We will not be there in Jesus' name. Next verse. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord of peace. He is their strength in time of trouble. God is our strength. Let God be your strength. Lean on Him. Don't lean on yourself. Don't lean on men. Men can even promise to help you. Men can look as if they are doing something, but keep your eyes on God. It is God that will use the man. Next verse. And the Lord shall help them. And what? Deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in Him. Amen. God is saying that as you keep your trust in Him, as you keep praying, as you keep looking to Him, He will deliver us. And the people that we see one day spreading themselves, next day, they are gone. They are gone. And that's how it is. Only God is eternal and self-existent. And anybody whom God opposes. So God will uphold us and will not uphold them. So they are already losing sight. That's what David saw about Goliath. He saw that Goliath was already finished. He didn't have God on his side. He was an uncircumcised Philistine. And he had a covenant with God. And he said, no way. I have more than you have. I don't care how big you are. But it doesn't matter how big the problem is. It doesn't matter how many of them are together. Though hand done in hand, they will not go unpunished. That's what God is saying. You look to God and the mightiness of our God. And you can use ordinary stones to defeat them. Ordinary stone to show you how mighty God is. One stone in the right place, and that's the end. Brethren, one word, one declaration will stop what they have been putting together for months and years. That will be the end of it. Peace be still, and there's a great calm, and Nigeria will go to the other side. Nigeria belongs to God. We have a covenant with God. And our covenant, God, they don't have a covenant. And so they will not inherit Nigeria with us. So the key is to grow up. We grow up and we begin to stand in our place. And the Bible says that the God will help us. He will deliver us. He will deliver us from them. And He will save us because we put our trust in Him. That's the will of God for us. But let's learn from the disciples. Jesus was in their boat and there was a storm. So God says the Lord, He says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 18, He says, the Lord shall be with you. The Lord be with you. The Lord was with them. So we must learn from them. The Lord was with them, but there was no peace because their Jesus was sleeping. What does it mean? God is telling us that the Jesus in you must wake up. And when He woke up, He quelled the storm. But He said, why is it that you have no faith? How come is it that you have no faith? I don't understand how you have no faith. You know why? Because they had no love. Their love life was dormant because they were still young spiritually. But some of us, we have grown spiritually. We are growing spiritually. How much love do you have? Because faith works by the love that you have. The love that you exercise. The love that you walk in. It is what is giving your faith strength to work. So there's some things that you will see. And you will just not. That's what David did. He walked on the scene. He heard the Goliath and said, who is this guy? Forget about the errand that came to. Because he came to deliver an errand. Forget about the errand. Who is this guy? I will go and defeat him for nothing. What's he saying? What rubbish is he? What rose up? Love. It was the love he had been walking in that made his faith rise up. Amen. So let your faith rise up. Walk in love. Forgive. Show mercy. Be kind. Obey. Discipline. Do whatever God asks us to do. Walk in the fruit of the Spirit, so that by the blood, the word, and the Spirit, we can put on that armor of love and then take our home, take our nation, set our lives in order, and our faith will be strong. Very important. Of course, learn to make peace. Because it's very important, brethren, learn that river is flowing. Learn to say, I'm sorry. So that the river of life can flow from you to others. Even when you're not the one that is responsible, you're saying sorry is to keep that channel open. So that something, there is a continuous flow. Now, that flow, your flow is two-way. Flow from God to you, and then flow from us to others. So from God to us, when we confess our sins. So we must keep frequently confessing our sins. And that's why he ends with that word, saying, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. That's why I left it. Grace is the unmerited favor of God that gives life into our human spirits, you know, on the inside through the blood of Jesus. That's what he's saying. He's saying, stay connected to the vine. Because once they connect to the vine, what is in the vine will flow in the branch. The peace in the vine will flow in the branch. The joy in the vine will flow in the branch. And then with others, keep a clear channel. So that what is in you can flow to others. The Bible says, every joint supplies. We make sure every joint is supplied by removing every block that through unconfessed sin. That's why the Bible says in James 3:18. Let's look at it. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you all. That's that grace. That grace will keep you. You know, it will keep you and I until the very end. And we're going to see. Let's read it. Let's read the scripture. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. When you make peace with people, then the fruit of righteousness comes both into your life and their lives. It's important. So make peace with God, make peace with men, so that there's a flow of the fruit of righteousness, you know, coming out through peace. Look at Hebrews 13:20-21. What is talking to us today, you know, about connection, staying connected with Him. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep. Notice the God of peace. The peace, the blood of Jesus reconciled Jesus back to God. Jesus needed his blood to get back to God. That same blood that reconnected him back to God will reconnect you and I. So the key is to use it frequently. Frequently. No, that great shepherd through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Next verse. Make you perfect. The life that comes from that blood now makes us perfect in every good work to do his will. Working in you that which is well pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. What is God saying? God is saying that as often as we confess, Lord, have mercy on us, receive mercy, so that the mercy of God into eternal life, you know, cleanses us, you know, activates the blood of Jesus Christ, you know, merciful on our righteousness, so that that life can flow, you know, that life flows into our spirit and keeps us growing. And as we grow, our capacity and our ability to do work increases. The quality of the work we can do spiritually increases. We don't confess sin only because we did something bad. We confess sin proactively to stay connected. Say, Father, we confess our sin, so we clean with the blood. We receive that cleaning with the blood to stay connected. So that's our mentality, to be cleansed all the time. And as you know, and as soon as you sometimes just all, it should be reflex. All the time. That's why Smith Wigglesworth used to pray every 15 minutes. Let's pray. Because he understood that you're only as strong as your connection to God. Oh, I did this in the morning. I did that in the morning. That's a long time ago. It's a long time ago. What's happening now? Lord, have mercy on me. Thank you for mercy to be faithful. I walk in love. Pray in the Spirit. That's current. If you do that, he will make you perfect in every good work to do his will. As you pray without ceasing, as I pray without ceasing, we stop sinning. We cease from sin. That's what pastors does us. And that way, we stand in where we are supposed to stand. The Thessalonian church was a good church. You know, they had overcome challenges. They had come through persecution. And he was leaving them with this word, that the grace of God will sustain you. And it will take you into your inheritance. The same thing, brethren. As we keep the instructions, cleaning with the blood, loading with the word, firing by the Spirit, God will perfect all that concerns us. Make us perfect in every good work to do his will. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's bow our heads as we pray. God must be number one in our relationships. Know no man after the flesh. If God says discipline, discipline. God says forgive, forgive. God says encourage, encourage. Keep our connection to God and our connection with the brethren. Is called the unity of the Spirit. And that unity of the Spirit will produce the unity of love, where we are all walking in love in our hearts. It is that unity of love that will bring the glory. Lord, we come to you. Let our hearts be changed, renewed, flowing from the grace that we found. Oh.
It's the power of the love.
God wants us to remain airborne. That by the power of the Holy Spirit, the righteousness of God, the peace of God, the joy of the Lord will keep us airborne in the Spirit. And we won't need to come down because we stay close to Him. Let's raise up our right hand as we pray. Left hand on our hearts as we pray in faith. Pray and say, Heavenly Father, we confess our sins and so we clean with the blood. In Jesus' name we have life. Father, thank you for your word that has come to me today, showing me that it is your desire and it is your will for me to stay close. You're holding me close, and Lord, I choose to stay close. So help me, Father, to draw nigh and to stay nigh by cleansing my heart frequently by the blood of Jesus, receiving the life of God frequently in faith, releasing the power of the Holy Spirit frequently throughout the day. Help me to manage my time effectively, giving you the early hours of the day, tithing my time, so I can generate the power and the wisdom for each day, and I can release and receive it into my life all through the day, so that I remain airborne, spiritually obedient to all your instructions, bringing glory unto you, bringing forth fruit in all that I do, in Jesus' name. Help me, Lord, to stay faithful, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's pray in the Spirit. Monga takato, akosande belelebe, iroma babababant, rababakatanda kasanto, jekanobos, mengele babas, gekonebeberia, robode, mengele beza, roseso, baleya, ribobobobobobobobodikekedebebede, bankedebebedia. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, the power of God is present in our midst. So let's once again in faith key in. The Bible says that the power of God was present to heal when the word of God was preached. He sent his word and he healed them and he delivered them from their destruction. Receive that healing. Receive that deliverance. In Jesus' name, amen.